Our scripture reading this morning is found in the book of Micah. We read Micah chapter 7. Our text is found in verses 7 and 8. Micah chapter 7. Jonah, Micah, Nahum. Woe is me, for I am as when they have gathered the summer fruits, as the grape gleanings of the vintage. There is no cluster to eat. My soul desired the first ripe fruit. The good man is perished out of the earth, and there is none upright among men. They all lie in wait for blood. They hunt every man his brother with a net, that they may do evil with both hands earnestly. The prince asketh, and the judge asketh for a reward, and the great man, he uttereth his mischievous desire. So they wrap it up. The best of them is as a briar. The most upright is sharper than a thorn hedge. The day of thy watchmen and thy visitation cometh. Now shall be their perplexity. Trust ye not in a friend. Put ye not confidence in a guide. Keep the door of thy mouth from her that lieth in thy bosom. For the son dishonoreth the father. The daughter riseth up against her mother, the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies are the men of his own house. Therefore I will look unto the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me. Rejoice not against me, O mine enemy. When I fall, I shall arise. When I sit in darkness, the Lord shall be a light unto me. I will bear the indignation of the Lord, because I have sinned against him, until he plead my cause and execute judgment for me. He will bring me forth to the light, and I shall behold his righteousness. Then she that is mine enemy shall see it, and shame shall cover her which said unto me, Where is the Lord thy God? Mine eyes shall behold her. Now shall she be trodden down as the mire of the streets. In the day that thy walls are to be built, in that day shall the decree be far removed. In that day also he shall come even to thee from Assyria, and from the fortified cities, and from the fortress even to the river, and from sea to sea, and from mountain to mountain. Notwithstanding, the land shall be desolate because of them that dwell therein, for the fruit of their doings. Feed thy people with thy rod, the flock of thine heritage, which dwell solitarily in the wood in the midst of Carmel. Let them feed in Bashan and Gilead as in the days of old, according to the days of thy coming out of the land of Egypt, will I show unto him marvelous things. The nations shall see and be confounded at thy might, at their might. They shall lay their hand upon their mouth, their ears shall be deaf. They shall lick the dust like a serpent. They shall move out of their holes like worms of the earth. They shall be afraid of the Lord our God, and shall fear because of thee. Who is a God like unto thee, that pardoneth iniquity, and passeth by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He retaineth not his anger forever, because he delighteth in mercy. He will turn again. He will have compassion upon us. He will subdue our iniquities. and thou wilt cast all their sins into the depths of the sea. Thou wilt perform the truth to Jacob and the mercy to Abraham, which thou hast sworn unto our fathers from the days of old. That far we read in God's inspired word. May God bless that word to our hearts. The texts that we consider this morning are the 7th and 8th verses of that chapter. Therefore, I will look unto the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me. Rejoice not against me, O mine enemy. When I fall, I shall arise. When I sit in darkness, the Lord shall be a light unto me. Beloved congregation in our Lord Jesus Christ, the confession that Micah expresses in our text is the confession of every child of God. I will look to the Lord. I am looking to Jehovah, and I will look to Jehovah for all that I need for my body and my soul. I will look to Jehovah for salvation. Especially in evil times, we must look to the Lord. Each and every one of us is bound to face evil times. Evil times are times in which sin abounds around us, and also our old sinful flesh expresses itself. But evil times are also unpleasant and unhappy times that make for adversity and distress. Think it not strange when fiery trials come upon you. Don't think it strange as though some strange thing has happened to you. This is the common experience of the child of God. The question is not whether you and I will face trials and difficulties. The question is not even when we will face trials and difficulties, but how will you and I respond in trials and difficulties? The prophet Micah lived and prophesied in a time that was evil. These are the same times in which Isaiah prophesied, and in his prophecy, Micah rebukes Judah and Israel for their many sins, for their awful sins, and he warns them of God's coming judgment. He speaks of evil times, but he also tells them of God's grace. He also comforts them with God's promise of deliverance. Deliverance from captivity, from the Babylonians, but especially our spiritual deliverance through Jesus Christ, through Him whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. He speaks of our spiritual deliverance by Him who would come forth from Bethlehem Ephratah, that little city among the clans of Judah. In the midst of evil times, Micah teaches us, beloved, he teaches us to look to the Lord and to wait for Him for salvation. So we want to consider the text under that theme, looking to the Lord in evil times. Let's note those evil times. Then note the waiting saints, those who wait upon Him. And lastly, the promised mercy. Looking to the Lord in evil times. What a grief to consider the evil times in which we ourselves live. That's exactly what Micah experienced. He says to himself, "Woe is me," as if to say, "What an unhappy man I am to live in such an evil age." And Micah speaks for all of God's children in every age who grieve over evil times. We grieve because we want to see righteousness flourishing. And when we see wickedness abounding, then we are grieved. When you go to a grape vineyard, in the time of harvest, you expect when you go to that vineyard that you are going to find clusters of grapes that you might enjoy. But now imagine the disappointment when you get to that vineyard and you find that it's all been picked over. What a disappointment. All you find are the grape gleanings, the few leftovers after the harvesting is finished. All the good clusters are gone. That was what Micah expresses. And that's a picture of society back then, but it's also a picture of society today. Micah says, "The good man is perished out of the earth." By and large, the godly are nowhere to be found. By and large, yes, there are God's people, and we know God's people. But how many wicked surround us who care nothing for God? Those who truly care for God, who serve God, are few and far between. In those days, no one made straight paths for their feet, Micah says. There is none upright among men. How bad was it in Micah's day? He says they all lie in wait for blood. They hunt every man his brother with a net. If you rebuke them for their sins, if you point out the wickedness of the wicked, they will lie in wait for blood. That was the case back then. And how soon will it be before we ourselves experience that kind of persecution? Condemn their wicked lifestyles, they will come after you, as if they were hunting wild beasts. And it's not just that they allow wickedness. We might think to ourselves, if they simply allowed wickedness, that's bad enough. But they do evil with both hands earnestly. They seek after it earnestly. That's a description of the wicked around us. The prince and the judge and the rich man, they all conspire together to do evil. They disguise their evil deeds to make them seem good and upright, but in fact they are evil. They are all wrapped up together, says the prophet Micah. Even the gentlest among them is like a thorn. Even the most upright among them is sharper than a thorn hedge, Micah says. Treachery and violence were commonplace. And beloved, if we knew what happened in our society, the things that go on behind the scenes, I don't know if we would believe half of what we heard. If not for the saving work of Jesus Christ, that's the way all of us would be. If not for the work of the Spirit in our hearts, we would be just as the world. And we would say with Micah, "Woe is me. He lived in evil times. Look at society around us. The vast majority don't care about God. Oh yes, they might be civil, they might be polite to you. If you want to talk to them about hunting or this or that, they are happy to talk about that, but they do not want anything to do with God. There is no reverence for God in their hearts. It's not surprising that the wicked demean marriage and the family. Now, maybe you haven't heard about this, but in Canada and Ontario, it wasn't just a few weeks ago, they passed a law called Supporting Children, Youth and Families Act, which allows the government to take children from families who refuse to accept their children's chosen gender choice. If a child wants to self-identify as something other than what they are, presumably the government can come and take their children away from those parents. If Johnny wants to be a girl, and the parents tell him he's not a girl, he's a boy, and he will always be a boy, the state can presumably come and take that child out of that home. And the failure to recognize the child's gender self-identification is now considered child abuse. One wonders how long it will be before that kind of law spreads throughout the world. What a grief when we consider society. But now we come a little closer. What a grief when we consider the church world. Evil men and seducers wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. What a grief that so many so-called Christian churches deny the divinity of Jesus Christ. Deny the virgin birth of Jesus Christ. Deny the bodily resurrection of Christ. And yet they call themselves Christian churches. What a grief when so-called Reformed churches are caving in to the homosexual agenda. In the name of grace. What a grief that respected evangelical leaders are willing to endorse ecumenical movements. Evangelicals and Roman Catholics together. What a grief. In this year, some 500 years after Luther nailed his 95 theses to the door in Wittenberg, what a grief that there are Reformed and Presbyterian churches who refuse to condemn error and discipline those members who teach error concerning justification by faith and works. That's what the church world faces today, beloved. That's a grief to God's children. How many churches teach that Jesus Christ is only half a Savior, and we must do something else to fulfill certain conditions if He's going to save us? You know, the devil is very clever. He comes as an angel of light. He uses the instrumentality of men who present themselves as biblical and conservative. Maybe this shows my age. I don't think it's that long ago, but I remember the heretic radio teacher, Harold Camping, now passed away. But I remember listening to him as a child, as a teenager, thinking how humble he sounded, how orthodox he sounded. This is a man who told his followers to join the Protestant Reformed churches, who met with ministers in the Protestant Reformed Church and professors about the possibility of joining our denomination. And after he amassed a great following, he denied the Trinity. He proclaimed the end of the church age, and he told all his followers, leave the instituted church. The time will come, and there will be others too, beloved. We ought to be on our watch. Time will come when those kinds of men, there will be more, who will draw many away from the truth. What a grief! And now closer to home. What a grief when people who are members of true and faithful churches wander away from God and refuse to repent of their sins. Many will mouth the words, yes, I have sinned, I am sorry. But they won't take the steps to fight against that sin. They won't do what is necessary to leave that sin. Now, I'm not talking about, beloved, those who struggle with sin. I'm not talking about the child of God who hates their sin and battles against it and falls back into it. I'm talking about those who refuse to do battle against sin. They confess to know Jesus Christ, but they have no regard for His commandments. Micah talks about such a breakdown in society that even friends and counselors could not be trusted. Verse 5 of our chapter, he says, trust ye not in a friend. Put ye not confidence in a guide. Keep the doors of thy mouth from her that lieth in thy bosom. Now, Micah is not trying to discourage friendship when he says, trust ye not in a friend. Friendship is a good thing. He's not trying to discourage seeking advice from counselors. We ought to do that. But things had gotten so bad in Micah's day that those friends and counselors could not be trusted. So bad that even their own families could not be trusted. Sons should have reverenced their fathers, but instead they spoke with contempt and behaved rudely towards their fathers. Daughters should have shown tender affection towards their mothers, but instead they were bitter and hostile towards them. It says in verse 6, for the son dishonoreth the father, the daughter riseth up against her mother, the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies are the men of his own house. Normally, we would trust the friendship and the counsel from our own households. But we need to understand, beloved, that even they can and will at times fail us horribly. Husbands will leave their wives. Wives will abandon their husbands and families. Parents will forsake their children, and children will forsake their parents. Even those close associates will turn against us. What a grief to see such evil times. And then add to all that my own sins and sinfulness. Our own sins and sinfulness. What a grief for the child of God as we see those besetting sins holding on to us. Will we ever be rid of them? Not in this lifetime. Micah says, I will bear the indignation of the Lord because I have sinned against Him. Verse 9. Like Micah, beloved, we need to recognize our own sins. Like Micah, we ought to and must recognize our sins and see that God chastises us for those sins. We must bear the indignation of the Lord because we have sinned against Him. Maybe we are tempted to be angry with God when He chastises us. But now Micah shows us the proper response. When God chastises us, we need to recognize the grief that we bring on ourselves. In humility, we need to acknowledge our own sins. Evil surrounds us, and evil manifests itself in our own hearts and lives. And now what must we conclude from all of this? Stop trusting in man. We all trust in man. We trust in our own strength. We trust in others for our happiness. Stop trusting in man. God says you will never find your happiness in circumstances or relationships. You won't find your happiness in friends or counselors. You won't find your true happiness in having children or parents or brothers or sisters. You won't find your happiness in being healthy, as much as we would desire that. That's not where our happiness is. Our happiness is not in ourselves. When we see disappointments in life, and we all do, God is directing us to take our eyes off of the creature. Stop looking to the creature. What does Micah say? I will look to the Lord. Sinful creatures bring grief. Therefore, I will look to the Lord. Now that, beloved, gives us a vivid picture of faith. Now looking to the Lord is not just a glance, and that's it. A glance in the Lord's direction. Nor is looking to the Lord something that only happens once in a while. Looking to the Lord in the original is another word for watching. As a watchman watches, he looks out from his watchtower. He strains his eyes. He looks intently into the distance to see if he can see anything moving. A good watchman doesn't look around lazily. He expends his energy, watching, making sure he is fully aware of his surroundings. He looks intently. And now Micah says, I will look in that way. I will watch intently for the Lord. I will fix my eyes on Him. Then according to the rules of the Hebrew, Micah repeats that same thought in the next line, I will wait. And waiting is not merely passing the time, twiddling our thumbs. Waiting isn't merely being resigned to accept whatever happens, but waiting is a confident expectation that Micah has and that we ought to have. What is Micah waiting for? What must we wait for as God's children? Micah says, I will wait for the God of my salvation. As if to say, I confidently expect my salvation to come from Him. I long for God. I know that He is coming. He is the God who has cared for me. He is the God, as we look back on the cross, He is the God who sent His only begotten Son for us, to die for us. He is the God who has promised to save us to the uttermost. That's where we need to look for our salvation. The world is full of grief and misery, but Jehovah is the God of our salvation. Jehovah, the great I Am, the one who doesn't depend upon the creature, the one who is independent of the creature, who doesn't depend upon us, who doesn't need our feeble and sin-stained works in order to save us. He doesn't depend upon our strength. He doesn't depend upon anything in the creation. He is the absolutely self-sufficient, independent God. He simply accomplishes everything that He desires to accomplish. He is able to speak the Word. Speak that powerful Word and the entire universe comes into existence. Now, is there anything, beloved, that is too hard for that kind of God? I will look to the Lord. Others might look to creatures for their happiness. They might trust in their bank accounts for their happiness. They might trust in their doctors to give them health and strength and happiness. They might trust in their own wisdom. But I will trust in the Lord, is the confession of the child of God, who alone, Jehovah alone, is the one who saves. I will trust in Him. Make no mistake about it, beloved, to trust in Jehovah for salvation is nothing other than to trust in Jesus Christ, who is Jehovah salvation. Look to Him in the midst of our grievous and difficult circumstances. We might look at where we are and doubt. Can God really turn this situation into good? Can He really? But if that's our attitude, beloved, we need to repent. Because Jehovah is able and does turn all those difficult circumstances into good, spiritual good for His people. Is there any reason to doubt that He will save us? Micah had faith even before Jesus Christ took on human flesh. He believed and looked to Jehovah for salvation. He looked for Jehovah even before the greatness of Jehovah's love was manifested in Jesus Christ. But we can look back and see the manifestation of God's love, who loved us when we were yet enemies, who sent His Son to die for us. And if Jehovah salvation has already come to pay the ransom for us, can we reasonably doubt that He will accomplish the fullness of our redemption? I will look to Jehovah. I will wait for the God of my salvation Is that your confession, beloved? In your difficult circumstances? When we look to Jehovah for salvation, we can be confident that God will show us mercy. Micah says, "My God will hear me." He doesn't just say a God, some non-specific God. He doesn't say the God, but he makes God his God. He sees God as his God. My God will hear me. My God, the God who has made himself my God by electing me, by electing his people. My God, the God who has purchased his people through the precious blood of his Son, who has made us his own, who has caused us to belong to him, body and soul. My God will hear me. If he has already given so much for us, he will not desert us. He will hear our cries for mercy. My God will hear me, is our confession. Now the enemies will try to dissuade us from that conviction, beloved. They will say, "Where is your God now when you face this or that difficulty? Where is the promise of his coming? He promised he would come thousands of years ago. Where is he?" You're not going to keep holding on to those empty promises, are you? The devil and the world and our own flesh will conspire against us. You know what Micah's response is? "Rejoice not against me, O mine enemy." Speaking to the enemy, he says to them, "You are boasting as if the matter were settled. You are boasting as if wickedness will prevail. You are boasting as if God's people will perish from the earth. But the day of judgment is coming. God will set all those things straight." Psalm 73 expresses that reality in vivid tones. God sets the enemy. They seem to prosper in this world. They seem to have everything. They seem not to suffer. And there are God's people suffering. But God has set the wicked in slippery places. "Rejoice not against me, O mine enemy." And knowing that we belong to our faithful Savior, we remain confident. Micah says, "When I fall, I shall arise." Now you understand, Micah's not giving some manifesto of human resilience. He's not saying, "When I fall, I will pick myself up by my own bootstraps." That's not what Micah is saying. "I will look to the Lord." That's the context. And then the idea is, when we face difficulties, those difficulties will not defeat us. When we fall, we shall arise by God's grace. Though we stumble in sin, God will not leave us there. He will pick us up. We will arise. We will repent by God's grace. "When I sit in darkness, the Lord shall be a light unto me." Though we all face difficult circumstances at one time or another. If you have not yet in your life, you surely will. Though we face difficult circumstances, the great I Am, Jehovah, will shine the light of His grace upon us. Trials, thorns in the flesh, battles against sin. No matter what dark circumstance, beloved, the Lord shall be a light unto me. That's the confession that we make this morning. Are we looking to Jehovah's salvation for all that we need for our bodies and our souls? Micah expresses his grief. He expresses his rejoicing in the Lord, his looking to the Lord and trusting in Him. And I cannot end on a better note than Micah himself, who says, beginning at verse 18, "Who is a God like unto thee, that pardoneth iniquity, and passeth by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He retaineth not his anger forever, because he delighteth in mercy. He will turn again. He will have compassion upon us. He will subdue our iniquities, and thou wilt cast all their sins into the depth of the seas. Thou wilt perform the truth to Jacob and the mercy to Abraham, which thou hast sworn unto our fathers from the days of old." Amen. Our Father, which art in heaven, we thank Thee for Thy faithfulness. We thank Thee that Thou art a God who never changes, and that Thou wilt keep Thy promises. The work that Thou hast begun, Thou wilt bring to completion. So we pray, O Lord, forgive our sins, and lead us and guide us in all of our lives. May we look to Thee day by day, for Thou art the God of our salvation. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.